from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
This is a Broken Promises club right here. Let me tell you.
It is a club of broken promises. But you know what? Here's the thing. You try producing a show that's for free and you're not making any money, it's going to be up there in the air. What can I say? It's a passion. It's a passion, but it is not paying the bills.
It's like you get married to that woman that you love having sex with, and then 15 years down the road, or what is it, 15 episodes down the road, you're just like, not tonight, baby. I got a headache.
Baby, you tiring me so bad.
And it's like, early on, like when you're a teenager, you're like, I will never ever get tired of having sex. Why would I ever be like, I don't feel like having sex tonight? But everybody gets to that point where they're like, wow, I just really don't feel like going through all that.
Which is exactly why we are planning on taking things up a notch.
Well, here's the good thing. Jacob is going to be soon working full time on our artistic endeavors.
Right, exactly. We do more than this, people. There are a few fans that are quite aware that we do this and something else. The something else is unspeakable. We shall not speak its name. No, it's a website called FightLinker.com, and basically it's a website on mixed martial art, and I'm going full time on it rather than having that, the Good Atheist, and a fucking bullshit job. So one had to go.
Bullshit job out, awesome radio stuff on, and then we will actually have the time, because Jake won't be working 40 hours a week, to spend half an hour to an hour every week fresh in the afternoon as opposed to 10 p.m. at night to do it. Now, just before we continue, I understand that we are basically a coven of broken truths and
so it's difficult to believe us, but you know what? That's because we got no morals.
But the good thing about it is, most atheists were raised by people who disappointed them constantly. So, like, there can't be a God, and all being God that's just,
yeah, he's not
delicious
all
and awesome and never disappoints. Because
nope.
I just can't visualize anybody that doesn't disappoint me all the time.
So what basically this show is about, it's about teaching you a lesson. That you can't always get the good stuff, but sometimes you will once in a while. But life ain't fair!
No. Good atheist disproves God, because good atheist plays into that idea that nothing is perfect.
Including scheduling for recording shows. But, you know, on the flip side, too, I don't know if this is just me, but I could have sworn, like, 5 or 6 months ago, there was news all the time about this religion stuff, and now everybody's just, you know, focus has gone elsewhere. Maybe everybody's so focused on the presidential race
that's
or whatever.
That's really what I think it is that all of the atheists that used to talk atheisty things are now just throwing their hat into this whole election thing. They're like, we have to get Barack Obama elected. Please, dear non-existent Jesus, in his
dear science, make this happen.
By science, yes.
Oh, for the love of neutrons.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it, I don't know. Like, it's when the biggest piece of news, and this is what we're going to use to segue into it in just a few minutes. But
When
the biggest piece of news is essentially somebody steals a fucking cracker from a church and there's a stink about it, then all of a sudden I'm telling myself, what am I doing?
Well, wait a second here. How about this? Do you want to talk about some of the stuff we posted up on the site? You want to talk about the Ala Burger?
Well, you know what? Why don't you talk about it since you posted it up, and then we'll have a little discussion. But after this, I just want to mention this at the beginning of the show. And I know, again, everybody might think this is a bunch of promises, these guys are liars. But another thing that we did is a couple of days ago, I purchased a very good camera.
Video camera.
A video camera, a camcorder. And one of the things that we want to do is we want to move up from podcasting. Still offer podcasts, you know, like the same frequency.
We are not taking away service, we are adding on. So we're going to do podcasting plus video casting.
Right, because, you know, I think the whole point is that, I mean, everybody's just addicted to high-end media. Nobody, I mean, I want people to basically see really high-quality stuff. I mean, we can do a really good show, really good podcast, and we can throw it together, but, I mean, a lot of the times, let's not lie, we fucking wing it. We really do wing it.
Oh, we totally wing it. That's how we thought, what was it? What did we think that was in Africa? It was actually, no.
It was Sudan.
Yeah, we thought Sudan was in the Middle East. That was
Anytime we've done one of those things, we've just wing it. But it's almost like one of those things where it's just too easy. So you just fall into the trap of saying, I can just open my mouth and gold's going
to
come out.
Here's how it's going to work. We're going to up it to videocast so you can see how red we are in our embarrassment. On the video cast when we mess up. And plus, as an added bonus, if you think, Jake, that I get lots of fan mail and love and adulation from the female listeners in podcast form, wait till video podcasts.
Oh,
Vidcasts? Is that what their names are?
I'm thinking of calling them Wepisodes. Mm-hmm. But
so they should call them Sexy-sodes.
Sexy-sodes?
Well, actually, I guess you even things out. So it'll just be a vidcast. We're all good.
Yeah, whatever. Anyways, so it's going to be interesting. What I want to do is I want to make the show about specific topics. The whole thing about it, though, is I'm not going to make the focus solely on religion. And the reason for that is pretty simple. I don't want to become a one-trick pony, okay? This is not just about atheism. It's about being good. And because that's the word atheism.
Here's the way that I looked at it, is that atheism is not just countering religion. Atheism is its own thing. Like, I find that religion has gotten too caught up in God, and it has stopped being about just being a good person. You know, like all of those people that go out to Africa, and you don't get service unless you convert to Christianity. To me, that's
convert to Christianity, get this chicken leg. I'm hungry. Okay, I accept your savior. Oh, my tummy.
So, I mean, to me, I just look at the idea of if we're going to talk about being a good atheist, because this is one of the arguments when we went down to Cincinnati and we hung out with a friend of ours who actually listens to the show religiously. He was actually making the argument of how can atheists have morals, and this is actually a prevalent idea amongst a lot of religious people. Atheist people just don't have good moral centering. So I thought it would be interesting to talk a lot more about
morality,
not just about atheism as a counter to religion and all those religious people are stupid, which, I mean, we are. You know,
that's episode one.
We try to be even. We try to be good atheists as a part of being snide asshole atheists, like smug atheists.
Smug, yeah, that is me.
So the idea of discussing things of morality, things of skepticism, things that we believe fall under the umbrella of atheism,
and that's what we're going to talk about.
But first, let's make fun of Muslims.
I don't like them. They're tricksters.
Well, talk about tricksters. Did you end up reading the article? Do you read the things that I post up?
Yeah,
on
Yeah, I do. I read it.
So you like? Did you look at the gristle? This is what happened in Africa.
You mean? Are you talking about the continent here?
Somewhere in Africa, they had some
kind
of
big continent.
They had a restaurant, and in the restaurant, they make pieces of meat.
All right, miscellaneous meat, whatever. Do you know what the fuck you're eating? I mean, I could serve you a burger. You probably couldn't even tell if it was rat or chicken.
But anyways, one of the guys working at the restaurant was cleaning the gristle out of the gristle grill, and he was about to eat the gristle, and he realized that the gristle had Allah's name written in Arabic or Afrikaani. I don't know. It was in something, but it was into the gristle, and he didn't eat it, and he put it on display, and now everybody's going to this restaurant, and this is the interesting thing. The scholars that came to the restaurant, these are, you know, legitimate religious scholars, were saying that this gristle proves that that Allah is the one true God.
Alrighty. Well, okay, let's start with the idea that you see... Well, you know, this is an interesting thing. If I ate some alphabet soup and it had the word Buddha in it,
well, come on. I mean, God is much more likely. I'm sure there's been lots of alphabet soups.
That's why I'm saying Buddha. It's a little
more rare. Or Alphagetti. Because alphabet soup is just a lot of soup.
I just got it, man. Alphagetti. There's only three letters in Allegheny. You're bound to get Allah in it and be like, it's sacrilegious in every bite.
Nice.
Okay, but the question is basically, okay, not that I want to tell the guy that he's a liar, but is it not likely that he wrote that shit in the gristle? Because, you know, an enterprising owner of a shitty burger place may tell himself, you know, if I get these religious rubes to believe that my burgers are sacred, surely I will get more business. Now, that's just me talking.
I know, but you got to realize, and I said this in the post, that's a dangerous game because They will put a tire on you and they will burn you to death.
Wait, who's they?
Huh?
Who's they?
Muslims. They're
Not all of them.
Not all of them, but let's look at this. You're in Africa and you perpetrate a scam around Allah.
Oh, what? Come on, man. You think they're not going to accuse you of that scam? You're now a holy man. You own a holy burger place. You might as well be like Muhammad's great-great-great grandchild for all the work you're going to have to do in your life, which is none.
You got to understand. The guy says one wrong thing to one wrong person or does it again, and there was somebody there that like caught him or found the molds or whatever else like that. There's 1,001 ways that things can go down and he can get caught. And then, as I said, it's just bad news to get caught in a scam surrounding Allah. Trust me. Don't trust me. I don't know what person.
I don't trust you at all.
First, it's not like I am a Danish person who had to escape from Daneland. You know, I don't know, but
I don't even know what that means. You're crazy.
But okay, one other thing that I wanted to talk about. Let's look at this. Let's look at the likeliness of this. People are saying that this is holy meat and that God did this. Why in Allah or Buddha or whoever's name, because this happens across all religions for some ridiculous reason, would God hide all signs of his existence except in occasional markings in fish, bread, mold?
Don't forget paint. Tree knots and glass on buildings and things that you just or cheese sandwiches,
yeah,
to which your first thought is this God is very crappy.
It's very ridiculous.
You know, I'm expecting a crazy-ass rainbow with an elaborate, 3D model shit, whatever. You know, like the whole kit and caboodle. Instead, you get a fucking cheese sandwich that looks like Diana Ross. I mean, I'm just saying here. Not impressive. If that's the kind of level of power you can bring, you know what? I think I'm going to believe in somebody with a tiny little bit more power.
Well, maybe he just has a really great sense of humor.
What, though? I tell you what. If there was a God, I got to tell you, that's just vanity right there. Where you need to have your name in some gristle. In some gristle! I mean, you're not satisfied having, 2 billion books out there with your damn name and your damn story. No, you're like, I need more. I need some gristle. I need gristle with my name on it. Be like, whose gristle is this? It's mine.
You know what? Maybe it's like God just doing all this stuff just to see if we notice. Like, all around us every day, there's all these little things, and it's just very rarely that people ever catch on to it.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm drinking currently something called Brahma. And I can definitely, if I was religious, appreciate the subtle and smooth taste of godliness. By the way, we're looking for sponsors.
Yeah, I'm sure a South American company, beer manufacturer, will be really hot onto the atheist.
Whatever, crowd. They're probably brewed by Nazis, and I don't know if they believe.
Yeah, that's true. Everybody's brewed by Nazis now.
Is it?
Yeah, Budweiser got bought by a German company.
Oh, well, Germans aren't all Nazis. My goodness, why do I even have you on the show?
Okay.
To be offensive, and you succeed brilliantly. Okay, first up. There are two basic topics I want to talk about today. One of them is a little bit amusing. It's one of Apollo 14's astronauts claims that aliens have made contact. And he made this is a weird interview on Kerrang Radio, where Dr. Edgar Mitchell says that we've been visited by extraterrestrials and that all of the world's governments are covering it up. What was interesting about the interview was, one, he did not give any description of what these aliens might be. He also didn't explain as to why it would be a secret, other than the fact that the government is holding it back, and two, that we look really primitive in terms of our technology compared to these guys.
You know, I don't want to,
call the man a liar?
No. I'm not, I mean, you understand my real role in this show is just to disagree with you, and I just want to say this, you are a guy recording a podcast in our living room. And he is a man that has gone into space. And you are calling him a liar?
Nope. Here's what I'm calling him. Severely delusional.
Okay, let me rephrase that then. You.
Yes, me.
Podcast living room. Him, astronaut space.
Well, you know what's interesting about that? And that brings me to the first point where I say, do we believe on something based on just simply one source and based on the authority of that source. Now, you could say, well, this man is a distinguished man. That's true. But it doesn't, and he has been to space. Okay, fair enough. But he doesn't make any claims about what these aliens are like. So this obviously means that he has not seen them. He's also made no He's also given no explanation to the technicalities of this more sophisticated technology, which he easily could. As an individual who is, you know, highly educated, he could probably give us some details, you know, a breakdown, if you will, rather than just give us like a crappy X-Files line of saying, we are nothing compared to these aliens.
Look, there's a big difference between hasn't and can't, you know? I mean, he hasn't. Can't he? He probably could, but maybe he decided he shouldn't.
Well, this is also kind of like one of the fallacy of, or some of the fallacies, let's say, of conspiracy theorists, where you just have to look at, you know, what are the logical conclusions that we can come up with when we examine this claim. So, claim number one, the whole whistleblower problem, right? You have a whole, just a number of individuals within the government, and yet no one has come forward with any detail whatsoever that could lead us to at least a glimmer, a glimpse, that the fact that there are aliens out there, they've communicated with us, and we're aware of them. So that's a bit weird.
But if you dismiss every single person that comes forward as crazy, there have been a number of people in relatively high positions that have come forward and said stuff. Well, which president was it that said that... there was a president that said he actually thought he saw a UFO. Now, I think it was Ronald Reagan, and that doesn't really help anybody's case.
The guy
case.
With dementia. but it's like one of those things where you say, I saw a UFO. Well, odds are... you have very confusing experiences. You saw something that looked like a flashy light moving around in a weird pattern. Boom! What? There's alien life now all of a sudden? And it's communicated with us?
Okay, but let's look at this. Let's look at the idea that every single person that comes forward individually is labeled as a liar. So basically you have the argument that, well, if more people came forward, then that might up the reliability of what they're saying. But you have all these people that have been dismissed. So long, it's a catch-22 where it's like, well, more reliable people have to come forward. But as soon as you come forward, you're no longer reliable.
No, it's you know, it's not even a question of the authority of the person that comes through. Mm-hmm. It's the authority of the evidence that's more interesting. So I don't care if it's like a guy in a fucking white lab coat comes knocking at my door and he says, there are aliens, you must believe me. Mm-hmm. I can't just take your word for it. And the reason is just not because I can't trust you, but I can't trust your experiences. Your experiences aren't worth shit. I remember there was one astronaut who had described the fact that he could have sworn he saw these space planktons or something that looked like life in outer space. Later it was pretty much explained that it was chunks of ice that were melting and giving off light, and that's what he thought was kind of ghosts or apparitions. Mm-hmm. Right? This is still a highly educated man who gets fooled by some ice on the outside of his spaceship. This is just ice. I mean, a simple explanation, and yet we come up with very convoluted and really, really weird and outrageous explanations. So
I can totally agree with you there. Now let's look at this specific case of this specific astronaut who isn't saying that he saw something strange outside of his window, which I agree. Most people are like, I saw something I don't understand. They're aliens. I agree. That is stupid. But when you have a guy like this who is basically saying that there's a program and there's a conspiracy and this and that, if he either he's telling the truth or there is something wrong with his brain, you know what I mean?
Well, he is getting on in age. I don't want to.
All the great astronauts are getting on an age, unfortunately.
I don't want to knock down the, you know, like chop him down at the knees and say, you're getting old man.
Yeah.
But just also because you're a professional, you worked in that field, it doesn't also mean that you can't be completely wrong about something and have kind of like, you know, watched a few too many movies. Now, I don't want to go on the wire and say that he, on the line, like put myself on the line and say he's completely wrong. I'm just saying, okay, you make that claim. All right, that's a pretty important claim. Here you are, you're in a position of authority, mm-hmm. and you're telling, bam, there are aliens. They're out there, and our governments know about them. Okay, well, what else you got? Mm-hmm. Well, they're really sophisticated. Oh, my goodness, no? A being from another planet visits sophisticated? Holy moly. All right, well, what about the details? I mean, do you know maybe what kind of propulsion they use? Do they use a language that's common to us? Do they look like us? Well, nice and silent on that sort of note. Just basically maybe a few whispers here and there he hears from somebody who spoke to somebody else being like, we made contact. Oh, my goodness. And maybe somebody was playing a damn prank on you. They didn't even tell you.
Back in the 70s, there was all those CIA projects devoted to doing lots of acid.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, they did invent the damn stuff. And, okay, my other point is this, is just, like, I mean, you said yourself, you said that there's just a number of people that have come forward. But, I mean, anytime you have any secret that's that big, it wouldn't just be one guy out of the damn woodwork.
What would it
be a whole team of people, and they would probably steal some shit or take some photos.
What, it would be a whole bunch of people that would take a bunch of proof, and it would be like put on television, like on Fox, and Jonathan Frakes from The Next Generation would come on, and he would host it. That would be what it would be like, right?
You're not pretending that that shit was real. I know you're not. But the alien autopsy, that freaking lie, that thing was pretty hilarious, though. I will give it credit. You know, this was the same program that they re-aired after another program said that we faked the moon landing. So, yes. Very credible sources. I loved it. Even the program that was biased from the beginning couldn't even find enough experts that were like, this is completely genuine.
Okay, well, let me just ask you this. We preach skepticism on the show. It's part of being a good atheist.
Absolutely. Skepticism 101.
But do you sometimes think that maybe your skepticism goes a tad bit too far and goes to the point where you are quick to dismiss people like this guy here and just say, well, he obviously has dementia. Did you do any research before? I know you didn't. So did you? Tell me.
On the guy, there's very little research to be done. Mm-hmm. I mean, beyond his very neat and tidy bio, it's not as though the internet is a very open place. It's not like it's your neighbor writes a blog about you.
It's very sad that there is more out there on fucking Hannah Montana than there a fictional Disney character than there is on
Apollo 14.
Than there are people that have gone out into outer space.
Yeah, it's true that if you're not a superstar and if you didn't show your vagina to 20,000 people, they don't actually really care.
Not yet.
I'm not talking about her, okay. But I'm sure it will happen.
Yeah.
I'm sure that you'll see that beaver cleaver at some point.
Everybody sooner or later, be you Hermione from Harry Potter or Hannah Montana from Disney.
Could we not talk about this again? I mean, every damn show. Every show.
I just for the listeners at home, I'm doing that little Italian thing.
Bellissimo.
Bellissimo.
Okay, well, I'm glad that we've degenerated to talks of vagina. Okay, let me just say this in closing. I just want to talk about my personal...
Do I get my closing thing after that?
Yeah, sure. Okay, why not? Let the idiots be. Let me finish first. Sure. Basically, my closing... The thing that I want to end with, at least with this, is I'm not denying that there is intelligent life out there. Okay? Mm. But I don't know if I've mentioned this in other episodes. The problem when you're dealing with the idea that intelligent life has come here and visited us is a monumental mathematical problem. It's a problem of possibilities. Imagine you got a universe that's about 13.5 billion years old. Okay? And imagine that this universe is gigantic. I mean, just the sheer size of it, you know, is just... It's monstrous. You can go out there. The furthest thing that
we've
ever...
Like the idea that 13.5 billion miles square would be just a laughable number because it's so small.
It's just tiny. It is a drop in the water that is the time and distance that covers this ginormous thing we call the universe. I mean, we sent the Voyager spacecraft. It's now, past Pluto, which is extremely far. But even then, it's not even the limit of the solar system. It would take, at least at its current speed, 50,000 years, and it's the fastest thing that we've ever launched. 50,000 years to reach the outer edges of our solar system. Our shitty solar system! It would take thousands of years even before it reached the closest solar system. So you're dealing with that in terms of just space, right? Mm-hmm. But you're dealing with another problem, and this is actually even a bigger problem. The problem is time. Now, imagine in those 13 billion years, you have a civilization that has the ability to communicate with others. And maybe that window, like they say, there was this biologist who said that the span of time that a species can hope to survive is roughly about 2 to 3 billion years with 14,000 years, a window of 14,000 years in its apex before it succumbs to extinction.
Where it's all smarty pants and can do
well,
shit.
Smarty, not say it could be any other creature where they multiply in the greatest number they're ever going to have. So we'll say in a civilization, we'll say 14,000 years if they're really good.
Yeah.
They got 14,000 years. How does that measure up against those 13 billion? You need in that window, in that tiny 14,000-year window, you need to be able to have other civilizations that are still not an immeasurable distance away from you to exist at that exact same fucking time. And that's the problem. The problem is not only this gigantic space, but it's time working against us. I mean, we have 100 years of sending out broadcasts. That's nothing. That barely reaches even like a tiny subsection of our shitty galaxy. And that's essentially the problem. So when somebody asks me, is there intelligent life out there? I'm like, right now? Well, I don't know. But every single star that I see out there is probably extinct now. So what the hell am I even looking at? I'm even looking at, when I look up at the space, I'm looking at an old painting. It's not even real. The stars that are there, they're fucking gone, most of them. All the galaxies we look at, they're totally changed. They're billions of light years away. So of course they're different now. So what are you even looking at? I mean, you wouldn't even know where to send your ship. Just because the images that come back to you are all different now. So who knows? But my point is, you make a statement about the fact that there's life out there. Please, I beg of you, as an educated professional trying to convince other educated people, give me something more than that. Not just your damn diploma and your resume. Show me some fucking proof. All right, your turn.
No, I'm not following up on that.
All right, the last thing I want to talk about, you don't know about this, so I'm going to have to give you a little bit of an education on this. It's about a Eucharist. You know what a Eucharist is?
I do know what a Eucharist is.
Awesome. All right. This is for all those of you that don't know what the Eucharist is. It's a tiny little piece of bread or cracker that a priest blesses, and in the process, apparently, something called transubstantiation occurs, in which that piece of bread literally, and I mean literally, becomes the body of Christ. You're supposed to eat it. If that sounds kind of gross to you, then you're not you're obviously not a Roman Catholic.
Well, here's my little Eucharist story.
Oh, okay.
Remember when I dated Kathleen way, way back? She was a Roman Catholic.
Really?
Yeah. And she took me to her church one time. And it's really interesting because as a non-Catholic, I wasn't allowed to participate. And I had to sit in the bench while everybody else got up and got in the line. And you don't know how many freaking people came up. And we're like, you know, are you going to come up and receive the Eucharist? And this, and I'm like, I'm not baptized. And they're like, oh, it's okay. That's fine now. And I'm like, and I'm not Catholic. And they're like,
ooh, no, you didn't.
They're like, then, like, the look I got was like, then why are you here? And I'm like, because I'm boning a Catholic.
Giggity, 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 gig. She may not be eating the body of Christ, but she's certainly eating mine.
Yeah, it's like she's getting some...
She yells, oh God, every time.
She's getting the Catholic Eucharist now, and she's getting Protestant Eucharist a bit later. And that really is the body of Ryan.
Oh, the body of Ryan. All right. Eat of my body and of my semen.
There we go. And now that we have once again...
Now that we had to lower ourselves after I had a highly educational monologue, let's go down here.
The show is a yo-yo.
It is a yo-yo. Yeah. We don't like to be consistent.
A delicious yo-yo of
grossy/educated goods.
Of grossiness/learnedness.
I know. It's not the kind of thing that you should play for kids in kindergarten, but you adults can definitely appreciate it. All right. Well, here's what happened. A couple of weeks ago, there was a student by the name of Webster Cook. What Webster did, I love saying the name Webster. Anyway, what Webster did is he took the Eucharist, but he didn't eat it. He just kind of took off with it. And everybody had a crazy shitstorm.
Well, no, he didn't take off with it. It was like, oh my God, he took off with it, and didn't he post a blog about it? And then he was like, I stole the Eucharist! And then everybody flipped out. Isn't that what happened?
Okay, all right, I mean, you can commit a crime, but if nobody knows about it,
crime.
Did I just say crime? What am I, crazy? Crime. He stole a cracker that was given to him.
No, he didn't. He did not steal a cracker that was given to him. He took the cracker and then he was like, ha ha.
No, but it wasn't even to that level. I mean, he didn't say he was going to do necessarily anything with it. But the funny thing is that the way that everyone went nuts, I mean, you got to laugh at the Catholic League. You have to laugh at the shit that comes out of these people's mouths. Their response to this, the kidnapping of the body of Christ, was to say that it was literally worse than a hate crime. Now, they should know what a hate crime is. They've been at a few of their parties. Mm-hmm. Anyways, so basically the kid had to return it at the university where they had the ministry.
Okay, so he returned
it? He returned it. He succumbed to the pressure. He returned it intact or whatever. I don't even know what condition the damn cracker was in, but he returned it. And that ministry, like it was like a college campus kind of like... church or whatever. Mm-hmm. They were posting now guards in the church to make sure you don't take off with any Eucharist whatsoever. They need to have armed people now to make sure that you swallow the damn thing. Because for them, it is tantamount to defecating on the literal body of Christ. So, P.Z. Meyer, who's runs a blog called Pharyngula, he's a bit of a comical guy, and he's really big in the atheist world, if you don't know about him.
Is he our competition? I hate him so much.
If by competition you mean smashes us, then no, yes.
If our competition bias in doesn't allow us to whore ourselves on his website?
Yeah. Well, whatever. I can't blame him. I mean, I even asked him to be on the show, and I received the honor of not getting a reply. I mean, I'm not going to. What am I going to do? I'm going to say, listen to me, I'm so awesome, I have thousands of fans.
Be like, man, you don't even know where army. Sudan is.
I know. He probably listened to that episode. Jeez, it's going to haunt me, eh?
It really is.
So anyway, so P.Z. Meyer offered a challenge to anyone out there to get him a piece of a Eucharist cracker, you know, blessed and everything else like that. He finally got one, and what he decided to do was he put a nail through it, he put some coffee grinds on it, garbage on it, along with a page of the Quran.
What an asshole.
Well, you know, he likes to stir up controversy. This is why he's the big leagues, man. I mean, what do? We're all nice. We're all good.
We're
P.C. Meyer's street, yo. He is street.
And he's the reason why people think atheists are assholes.
Well, you, nobody said that he has to be a nice guy.
No,
what,
no.
Everybody need to be a representative?
No. Here's the thing. He can do whatever the fuck he wants, but I can also say he's a fucking dick face for doing that. And this is exactly the kind of thing that makes everybody hate atheists.
But there's another reason why I think he does it. And it's just at the same time where you can say, man, that bullshit polarizes people, right? Well, at the same time, though, I think that shit's necessary because when you really boil it down to it, this is some silly-ass shit. This is really quite silly. I mean, you have to do that for someone to be like, whoa, what are you complaining about?
Okay,
it's a piece of bread.
Let's look at it like this. Do you remember your crappy-ass watch that I lost?
Yeah, you owe me a watch.
I lost your stupid crappy-ass watch, your crappy-ass...
It was a good watch. It lasted 8 years.
Okay, well, this is like what? Like a $30 watch, whatever like that.
It's 50 bucks.
I lose it. You give it to me.
I put it in your hand to time me while I'm doing my workout. I turn around. I'm like, pass me the watch. What watch? I mean, for God's sakes.
It took me all of 5 minutes to lose the watch.
You couldn't even find it anymore. This is what I deal with, people. This is what I deal with. This is ridiculous.
But that watch doesn't mean anything. That watch is a piece of crap, whatever watch. But you're like, you lost my watch. This was like...
Yes, but I'm
6 months ago,
I'm
but
not
you're still like, you know what? There is barely a day that goes by this thought.
Barely a day?
Where he doesn't bring it up where he's like, oh, I don't know if I can trust you. You lost my watch.
Dude, you idiot. You make it sound as though I say this. All right, I'm going to bed. You lost my watch.
But this,
what?
Here's the thing. Stuff that doesn't mean anything means something to other people. Wow.
I know, but the problem is that... And a piece of fucking cracker or even a watch. I mean, you lost my watch, but did I utter death threats? Did I say you were a piece of shit? Did I make you potentially get kicked out of whatever school or job you might do? No, and this is what this kid faces.
But,
and that's the problem. When you give something that much power, I mean, I don't mind if it means something, a little something to someone, maybe as an emotional tiding. But when it becomes more important than the life of somebody else, when you fucking utter to them death threats, or when you want to destroy their careers because they took a piece of cracker and they threw in the garbage, then there is something fundamentally wrong with you.
Well, then what do you think about wiping your ass with the American flag?
I mean, why should I give a shit? You know what it is?
Okay, what about
it's
the Constitution? What about the Constitution?
It's the same thing.
UN
it's
Charter.
Just an image.
UN Charter.
It's just an image.
So
it
if
doesn't
somebody wipes
take
their ass with the UN Charter and is like, Hail Hitler... You're like, that person shouldn't be anything.
What are you talking about? First of all, it's just a symbol, right?
Yeah.
It's just a symbol to represent concepts. It doesn't mean when you do it that the concept is worthless anymore. It just means that the symbol that kind of brought to mind that concept are no longer, well, in pristine shape. But so what? So why should you give a physical item the power of those concepts? I'm saying we shouldn't do that. See, I forgave you for the watch. I can still make you feel bad for it, and that's your penance, all right? That's what you'll... Until I get a new watch, basically, I'm going to fucking rub it in your face, all right? But still, I mean, the watch itself, I had entrusted you with it, yeah, it lasted. I don't want to go on a tangent here, but come on now. But the fact of the matter is, I didn't give it a holiness. It's not as though this is the most important thing in my life.
It wasn't holy to you, but it was relatively important, as is shown by the fact that you continue to harass me about it. So I just want
to... it's important to them. That's fine.
I wanted to take it and put it in perspective and then try and blow it up and explain to you the idea by bringing up the flag or the Constitution. I know you don't really care about those, but like the UN Charter or, you know, the war crimes thing or like the Charter of Human Rights, something that actually, you know, symbolically means something to us. Obviously, there's nothing that we blow out of proportion, but can you not respect at least... step back and go, I can understand why these people are upset that some douchebag stole the Eucharist and put coffee grinds and garbage on it. Isn't that just as if somebody...
But that's not what they... That's not what they were originally upset.
And took a crap on it?
Then the person is a goddamn idiot. Why should I care what the fuck he thinks? Right? Does that all of a sudden demean my mom to me? No! It doesn't change my perception of my parents. The only thing it makes me think is this guy has a serious mental problem and he needs help. Look, this is exactly what I'm talking about. We can't just give... We can't give important things... we can't give concepts like freedom or whatever. We can't bottle them up into items that can be destroyed, discarded, and defamed... And all of a sudden, focus on what happened to that one object that we gave that power. Just remember that story that I thought would be kind of neat, as though the whole world suddenly becomes an apocalypse. And the only thing that people give value is a rock, just this really shiny black rock. And they just say, this is the most important thing in the universe. What would happen? Everybody would kill themselves over a stupid rock. Then that's stupid. Mm-hmm. They shouldn't do that. Why do they do that? And they do it just because we have this tendency of giving valueless things value. We're saying this rock is a symbol of our freedom. Well, fuck the rock. Freedom's more important. You don't need a symbol for it. You just need it. That's all. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying.
Hey, I can agree with you on that other level, on that perfect, like, we are all transcendent.
We are the world.
No, not even we are the world, because in order to do this, you have to basically be like, everybody hates each other, and that's okay, and you shouldn't care what people think and this and that, but everybody does. So, I mean, on a practical level, I can say, yeah, no one should give a crap about that, but on a realistic level, I'm like, why are these people doing this? This is...
I think, you know, what I'm not exactly saying that's necessarily this, you know, brightest thing that the man's ever done, but I can understand it in terms of protest, right? It's a protest for that kid who's going to possibly get kicked out of his university for something as silly as taking a damn cracker. And let's step back here, okay? It is just a cracker. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. You can say, well, no, this is the literal body of Christ. Okay, put your money where your mouth is. And of course you're not going to. It's just a symbol. They don't want to recognize it as a symbol, because if they only accept it as a symbol, it loses that mystical power, right? It loses kind of like that, I don't know, paganistic, disgusting, you know, I need to eat of flesh and drink of blood for salvation kind of weird sickness, it seems to be. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is, but they don't want to lose that. Mm-hmm. They don't want to admit that it's just merely a symbol. And so, therefore, the future of a young man is in jeopardy because of their adherence to this fucking symbol, and
because
that's annoying.
He did something very dumb.
So what? So what? He took a cracker! Okay? He didn't spray paint a hospital! Okay? He doesn't merit that level of hatred and anger that stemmed from everybody else. And for at least for that protest, maybe the one thing that it did do or will do is take focus away from what he did and put it right on PZ Meyer, who's more than willing to take the blame and the fire from these guys, because what does he care? Mm-hmm. It's not like his life is going to be, you know, any more difficult than it is with these clowns.
Yeah, although, I mean, I do wonder whether or not it takes away from the student and puts it on him. That would be very ennobling. But I got a feeling that it just kind of inflames the whole situation, and then that kid just gets more shit for it. You know what I mean? It's like, you're the source? I don't know.
You must go.
I feel bad for everybody involved, but I'm just like, dude, that was dumb. That's like, oh man, that's just dumb. I mean, you just, yeah. That is like wiping your ass with the Constitution or wiping your ass with the American flag and all these things. It's like, yeah, it shouldn't matter, but it really does, and people are psychos, especially when you're messing with people's host. It's just a bad idea.
I guess the end lesson, if we're going to have one, is just that people take their symbols seriously, and when you start messing with a symbol, they's go nuts.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the good atheist saying, symbols shouldn't matter, but if you value your university...
career.
Yeah, then, mm-hmm, yeah.
Wow, we're ending with lessons now. We, you know, we dropped the stupid person of the week, and we went with lessons.
I never liked the stupid person.
Some people liked it. You know, the only reason I didn't keep it is that because it depresses me to go read up on stupid people. It really is depressing. Yeah, because stupidity is rampant.
Yep.
It's just, it is a disease, and I don't want to report on the disease every day. I'm just going to shoot myself.
Yeah, we got to talk about the cure, and the cure is more good atheist. Think we can handle that?
We's can handle it, and as soon as the camera comes, I wonder if they's can handle the goodness that is coming their way.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. The last thing I actually want to talk about as we go on is there's this website. It's an interesting little experiment. I highly recommend it. It's called atheistnexus.org. It's kind of a community for atheists and freethinkers, and I just joined up. There's roughly a few thousand people on it, but it's still just up and growing. If you're not there, go on and, create your account. I created a group for the Good Atheist, so if you're a fan, jump on, be part of the group, and you can. I'll be checking it fairly regularly, so if you want to make any suggestions to the show or if you want to just tell your friends about it, why not? They asked me to, you know, speak about the site, and, you know, I'm more than happy to support the project because I've always been behind the idea that just
atheists
because you're an atheist,
have to organize.
They have to organize, and just because you're an atheist doesn't mean you have to be in your fucking basement not talking to anybody. Why not share ideas, and why not share experiences with other people?
And we can all go, and we could steal more crackers and put garbage on them.
Or, you know, something like lose watches. All right, with that, I'm your host, Jacob Forte.
And I'm Ryan Harkness.
All right, have a good atheist day.